talk about why you got all these letters, because we are establishing a TIF. Now, tell the truth. Do you know what a TIF is? Okay, so a TIF is where a municipality is authorized to look at a certain section of property within its borders, and it decides it needs some oomph, it needs some help. Nothing's happened there for a long time. And so the city believes, and this is all over the state, that if they were able to incentivize some development there, things would happen. In other words, get a little bit of money to disperse some projects. So the state in 1977 created the Tax Increment Allocation Redevelopment Act. And in this act, it says, once a municipality determines that an area is blighted, or in our case, a conservation area, meaning it's all you want to conserve it because it's a little tired, okay, that you can take that area and you look at it and you study it. And if it meets specific criteria under the law, specific criteria, you can designate it a TIF, a Tax Increment Financing District. What is that body? Well, you send a notice to the assessor, and the assessor looks at all of your properties and looks at the EAV, the value. You pay your tax bill, you know you have an EAV, the tax bill. As time goes on, or I can say to you, I'll tell you what, your taxes are now $1,000. You don't have a... you don't have a garage. Better yet, we should talk only of business. You have a business and you really need to expand. You don't have the money, so you're paying $10,000 taxes on your business. And the municipality comes to you and says, I'll tell you what, if you expand that property, your taxes are going to be $12,000 now, right? Because you got more property. But what the city will do is share the $2,000 increment with you if you go ahead and do it. But you got to do it the way I want it, and consistent with all the facade, all the zoning, everything. But if you do, I will, over the course of time, with that $2,000, I'll give you 75% of it until you get paid back a reasonable portion of your cost to the state. So that's how it works. Did that make sense? Okay, so you declare a TIF, and you hope that when you declare the TIF, that property owners within the TIF will come to you and work out a deal and agree to improve their properties in, because there could be some incentives available. But only to the extent your property increases the taxes. So why are you here? Okay. So the law also says, look, if you've got more than 75 residents in your area, you have to call them together and give them first bits of information as to what you're doing, because you need to be warned if somebody's developing your area that you're going to be displaced, that I'm going to incentivize him to put a business on your house and you'll be without. Does the United City of York have any intention of doing it? Absolutely not. Has any municipality I've ever worked for? Since 1970, I was a lawyer before the law. That's it. I know. Anyway, does any municipality I've ever worked for done that? Absolutely not. Who has done that? The city of Chicago has done that. And so because the city of Chicago has done that, we all have to do this law. But you know what? I kind of like the law. You people live in this area that we're trying to tip, so you should have more knowledge than anybody else. So I don't mind having these meetings. But there's no intent, and we'll give a full report, that any person will ever be displaced. We do want to let you know that the vacant properties in the area, that some of the businesses or the buildings, we are going to try to incentivize them to improve things. We're also going to use, to the extent there's money ever generated, your taxes go up every year, if you do a garage and you don't get an incentive and there's no taxes, we can also use TIF money to improve streets, streetscaping, sewers, gutters, curbing. We can do a lot of things with this money to the extent it's generated. A TIF lasts for 23 years. So sometimes just by simply inflation, there's some money that the municipality can use. Here's the deal though. To the extent there is any incremental real estate taxes generated within the district, it must be invested within that district. Can't take the money generated from your business, your $2,000 that you paid, and bring it anywhere else but within your neighborhood, within the designated area. Second thing that's good is every year, the municipality must report to the state of Illinois what they're doing with the money. They must share with the school districts and the taxing districts. Exactly what has been done with the money, so that the other taxing districts can say, wait a minute, that $2,000 would have gone to me if you not had a TIF. But because you had a TIF, we went to a kitty where I could use it to incentivize you to do some work. Does any of that make sense? Thank you.
It's just on the increase or is that the whole tax?
Pardon me? It's just on the increase. It's just on the increase. So, and perfect question, because I thought it was fair enough. When you declare the TIF, the value as of that day, all the money that you've been paying in your taxes all these years, goes to the county, the township, the fire protection district, the municipality, the schools. That continues to happen. The only thing the municipality has available, if it happens, is to the extent the taxes are increased because improvements have been made to the property.
Or taxes, well, generally.
No, no, and no, and not your EAV stays the same. So our tax rates go up, you follow that. So say my home, my tax rate went up, but my EAV didn't go up at all. I just paid more money in the same freaking place, but we know about that. So none of that would go to the TIF. So it's only where there's an increase in your property value.
So that's where that money comes from to go into the TIF.
Right, the increase in it's only the increase, right. So that's basically what a TIF is. So now, in terms of giving you all the information that you knew of.
I know, that's a nice question, just for presentation.
Oh, no.
Yep.
No, you know too much, I don't want
to. What happens if housing values or property values go down?
Okay, it's too bad, we're out of luck, tough on you. And that happened a lot. And so what happened a lot, and especially in this area too, when the economic decline happened in 06, 07, 08, our properties tanked. So many of the TIFs were wiped out. We just discontinued them. What was the point? By the time you came back up to the value as of the date of the TIF would be over. And so now there's a lot of talk about re-TIFing because that tanked. And I think you know about that. So we've got to start over in many an instance, otherwise it was for naught. The procedures are, Jason's going to tell you more about the TIF, but I'm going to tell you, this is going to go on and on and on until the cows come home, I swear. So we will have another one of these meetings. Each one, we've had different residents because we've changed the boundaries. And every time we change a little thing, we have to first advise the resident, which is fine. That's good. And then after that, we then have a meeting with the taxing districts and take the plan, which you're going to see today, and talk to the taxing districts about them because they have to be advised that if there's an increase in the EAV and there's taxes generated, they're not going to cut it. So they want to watch and make sure that the municipality is using it for beneficial purposes. Then after that, we tell everybody that owns property in the district, not only the residents, but all of the property owners, the business owners, and we have a public hearing. We even have to send letters out to anybody within 750 feet of the area we're declaring. The world's got to know about this too. Is that bad news? No, because the more we tell you and the more we tell the property owners to come on down, maybe we can convince you to do some development, do some improvements, and maybe we can help with some of the costs. So the more we do this, actually, the better it is for the community and for all of you who own the property.
But the city's going to do a lot before a homeowner or a business person does anything because you've got sewer and water problems.
And that's part of the money that would be used for the TIF. The other thing you've got to realize is in my experience all these years in doing TIF, when a municipality sees in an area, they use other general fund money to also do it when you see progress, when you see it's working. as well, when you see there's gonna be some return for risk, but reward. So, yes. Do I think TIFs are great? I don't think we have a choice. There are no other tools that we can utilize to try to work with property owners in the state of Illinois. This is all we're left with. So in the olden days, because I'm old, in the olden days it was federal grant money, et cetera, that we could utilize to do these things. That hasn't been around since 1990. What we're doing here in the United City of Yorkville is the only thing we can do. This will be our third TIF. We've had two in the past, Countryside, and you know, lay dormant for those of you who have lived in town for a long time. And now it's finally paying off in the TIF with the new theater. But we started on that in 2000. So anyway, that was an industrial TIF. We started that in 2005. Stand corrected, right. Okay, I'll turn it over to Jason unless you... Okay.
All right, so I'm going to go over just actually with your questions. We already covered several things that are in this presentation, but we'll go real quickly through everything. Kathy did a great explanation of the TIF definition. We'll go over the history of the existing downtown TIF, go over the intent and purpose behind the TIF, and then the completed eligibility report and housing study, which are required to establish a TIF for the act. And this is just a quick graphic explanation of what Kathy already explained, is that existing tax base gets frozen at the initiation of the TIF. The increment driven by the raise in equalized assessed values creates an increment, and that increment must be spent on items, projects within the TIF district, within the boundaries. So there will be a boundary that we set out. This is our redevelopment project area. All money generated in that increment gets invested back into the area. It's a investment tool for development and turning around an area that needs redevelopment. So the history of the downtown and TIFs is there's an original TIF district established in 2006. And as we stated before, or 2005, six, in there. It was obviously setting the base values there. What ended up happening in 2008, 9, and 10 is they plummeted. So we weren't generating enough increment to really keep things viable or entice people to redevelop the areas. And since then, we have passed a new comprehensive plan last year, which calls for a lot of redevelopment, and the prime focus of the city is to redevelop downtown, to reorient downtown along the river since 47 was widened, to increase walkability and just activity in the downtown, a real place to be. So this TIF goes along in helping alleviate the TIF 1, which we haven't seen the rise in values, and trying to create a second TIF to create new base values that are lower, and then hopefully within the coming years when they raise will have increment to entice development. Which is what we are trying to do. Along with this, what we'll be trying to do is take some of the properties of the first TIF with the lowest EABs, put them into a new TIF with new properties as well, because we're expanding our scope from our comprehensive plan. One thing that should be noted as well is that TIF, two different boundaries that touch, can share funds. So it's really just a way. We are also in the process of extending the original TIF, so the two timelines will coincide 23 years. Since the original TIF is already over 10 years old, it only has about 12, 13 years left. So we're going to try and extend that one, create TIF 2, and we'll run concurrently together. This is a general map. I have printouts over here if you didn't get one. But it shows the boundary of what we're proposing for the new TIF. It shows what the original downtown TIF will be. And it highlights parcels that will be new, and then parcels that are already in the first TIF that will be going into the second TIF. Parcels that are blue are ones that were in TIF 1 that are going into TIF 2. And parcels in that yellowish orange are just new parcels. Now you may ask, okay, we're expanding this as well, and why add residential properties if, you know, its basis is for commercial and mixed-use development? Well, within the acts, you must have a continuous boundary. So unable to get to certain pockets that really need the redevelopment, you have to make a connection through. And you can't just use roads, you actually have to have properties. So there are several properties in the residential areas that we're just adding because we need that connection from east to west. So the plan consists of, you have to have three parts to create a TIF. An eligibility report, which verifies that this area is in need of redevelopment, it is a priority to do so. A housing study shows inventory of housing and what would have to happen if housing gets removed. As Kathy stated earlier, Chicago, this is kind of one of those things that we have no intention of moving people out of their homes or making you sell or you can't do anything. It's just the fact that we have to do this report. There are more than 75 dwelling units within the TIF, so we conduct a housing study. And then finally is a redevelopment plan. This is the plan that states where the goals and objectives. Why are we doing this? What's the purpose? What are we going to try and spend the money on? What types of funds do you think we're going to see over the 23 years? What types of developments do we want? This meeting right now, we're just going to cover the first two, the eligibility and housing study, and then the redevelopment plan will be done later. We're also going to have a public hearing. We will have an ordinance passing for a public hearing, and it's most likely going to be by the end of March, maybe early April. That's the current timeline. Things may change. As Kathy said, if we change the boundary, do some other things, it may get pushed back further. So the eligibility report, within the act, there states 14 different criteria for improved land, and then there are 6 criteria for vacant parcels. So back in July, we did a full field work study. I and our planning intern at the time went through parcel by parcel, looking at all these eligibility criteria for each property that is in the proposed TIF. You need the first one, which is kind of special, is age of buildings. If 50% or more of the buildings are 35 years or older, you need 3 of these criteria out of the rest of the 13 to qualify a TIF. If all the buildings are newer than that, you need 5. So after going through, looking through county records, I believe something like 80% of the buildings older than 35 years. So out of the rest of the 13 of these, all these criteria, we just needed to hit 3, and I believe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 experts we did. I'll just go over real quick. The ones are highlighted in red here, the ones that the area qualifies for. Obsolescence is, there are 2 forms, economic and functional. And it basically just means when things are becoming obsolete from their original use. Whereas many of the homes in the area wouldn't be able to be redeveloped with newer standards. Many of the industrial areas have not adequate garage space or driveway length or turnaround areas because they were built 100 years ago. They're becoming obsolete. Deterioration is another one. There are 2 forms of deterioration, site deterioration and building deterioration. And within the Act, it states very specifically pretty broad terms for both of these. Site deterioration has things to do with cracks in the driveway, cracks in the sidewalk, rubbish and garbage, landscaping problems, fencing. Building deterioration obviously has to do with structures on it. If the roof is, falling in, or the gutters are falling down, siding is missing, foundation is cracked. Those are the types of things that we consider building deterioration. And over 50% of the area both show building and site deterioration. Moving on to inadequate utilities. This was more so done by asking the Director of Public Works and our engineering consultant the status of a lot of the utilities in the area. And it is, a place for concern of there's a lack of water. The main sizes are too small. There's almost no stormwater management in the area, and sanitary sewer lines would still need to be upgraded, especially if there's redevelopment in the area and someone wants to come in with a larger mixed-use building in the area. They're going to have to spend a lot of money on updating the utilities. Lack of community planning. This criteria states that if the area was built up before any sort of community plan or comprehensive plan, then it qualifies for lack of community planning. This area was obviously developed when the first parts of Yorkville ever developed a very long time ago. All the buildings are very old. And our first comprehensive plan was 1974. So this qualifies for lack of community planning. And finally, declining equalized assessed value. So just as we were talking about the values of the properties, three out of the past 5 years, the properties as a whole, not everyone's, but as a whole of the district, have lost value throughout the past 5 years. So those are what qualified for improved land. Moving on to the vacant parcels, there are six criteria. You must meet two, and this area meets three. Deterioration of adjacent sites and structures. So kind of the same thing I was talking about, improved properties. If there's vacant properties next to these areas that have deterioration, that qualifies. The Illinois EPA remediation. Actually, this could be national or state EPA remediation. There is a large block, and I'm sure everybody down here knows, around Van Emmon, Eustis, and Main Street that has been recently torn down. That is an EPI remediation site that before anything can be done, there will be remediation costs, which TIF funds could help in that effort. And then finally, again, declining EAB for the vacant properties as well. That is also what qualifies. So in conclusion, after doing this report and study, the area qualifies as a conservation area. Now, the two biggest questions I always get is, my house is in the TIF, what does that mean? Are you making me move? Or it's just the building incentive. We've already kind of gone over that. Second question, what does it mean if my property is considered deteriorated? I saw in a report, like, it's deteriorated. What's that going to do to me? It only affects this TIF Act. It does not hurt your property values. Just because there is site deterioration doesn't mean your house is ugly. It doesn't mean anything like that. It's purely just what was written in the state act. And we went out with a checkbox and just checked off things. If it can be even as little as a crack in the driveway, consider site deterioration. Moving on to the housing study, and this is the second item that we need to qualify the TIF. There are two components of the housing study, an inventory and then a relocation plan. The inventory is just a basic demographic research of the types of housing units in the area. The socioeconomic standing, number of bedrooms, types of people that live in these this area. So just all basic stuff. There's 102 units, mostly single family. It's about two-thirds single family homes. A lot of two-bedroom and three-bedroom units. So it really just gives an idea of what's here, who are the type of people that live here. The relocation plan just calls out, it takes this information and says, okay, if the people in these standings need to move, is there availability in the area? And the relocation plan kind of states out within a very short driving time, several places that are up for sale now that they can move to. So the next steps, so the eligibility study and the housing study have confirmed that this area qualifies for a redevelopment project area and a TIF. So the next steps are creating a redevelopment plan, which I said earlier is accepting the goals, it overviews tax increment financing, defines the project area, gives objectives, and it gives as well projects that are hoped to be accomplished within its lifespan, as well as eligible costs, things like utilities or gathering parcel collection, workforce development, things like that. That's what the redevelopment plan will go over. Once it's done, we'll post it, you know, publicly to the website as well. We've gone over at the public hearing. There's just a list of things that are eligible. As I say, you can do marketing, property assembly, extra relocation costs, financing costs. Again, it's those little incentives to redevelop maybe a facade improvement or even adding to a property. So yeah, in conclusion, we're going to be moving forward with this. We'd love to hear comments from all of you. If you have any other extra questions, if I wasn't clear on something, please ask. Fire away.
There are two rules about the TIF. No TIF dollars may be used for new construction. Okay? So it's not like you just thought you took a step to go out and build a whole new subdivision. No. The idea of the TIF is to fix infrastructure to improve buildings that are there, that are present. Now, if you have an empty lot, can we use TIF money for that? I can use it for infrastructure, improving, because then it would help the whole block, sewers, water mains, site preparation, getting rid of any environmental issues. But no reimbursement. That's the first thing. Second thing is, being in a TIF, if you don't do a project, doesn't change anything. It does not, no one believes me, but you will if we go forward with this, it does not change your taxes. Your taxes are your taxes are your taxes. Your EAD is your EAD is your EAD. And unless you do something to improve it, I started out by saying, which is a typical thing, I build a garage. I didn't have a garage, I built a garage. My house is worth more, my taxes are going up. I could be in a TIF, I could not be in a TIF. My taxes are going to go up. I do any expansion. I just redid my driveway. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, the house really looks nice. Oh, my taxes don't go up. But I'm not in a TIF. So they may go up regardless. So those are the two things. Being in a TIF does not affect your tax bill. And I can't say it often enough, and no one ever believes me, but time will prove I'm not. Yes, sir.
If you sell your property, does it go by a new TIF once the property is sold?
Excuse me?
Let's say you had a $10,000 property tax, and you sold your property, it's valued more after you sold it than what you're paying taxes on.
Yes.
Does it go by the new one?
If you sell property, I mean, the theory is, if you want to get into the theory, you sell your property for more, your EAD now is $100,000, and you sell it for $200,000. So the EAD goes up. That will generate an increment that will go to the municipality. You won't get the benefit.
Right, but the TIF will get it.
The TIF will get it, and that's where the TIF uses it for the general. They got it from your property. They're not going to give it to your new buyer. So that will go into the pool that we could use to do streets, curbs, gutters, whatever. That's kind of how it, the secret of how it's beneficial to the neighborhood. If I build a garage, I don't get an incentive because it's not part of the program. My taxes go up. That increase in the EAD of my lot would go to the TIF.
Okay, so if you don't need any improvements on your building, if they've already been done,
yes. Yeah, you can do it. It'll affect you, please God, that the rest of the neighborhood improves. And then your property values may go up. But your house is one of your biggest investments in your life. It should only get, I mean, that's my opinion. Maybe it's because that I want that. But, yeah, exactly.
If the neighborhood improves, your values have gone up and your taxes have gone up.
Yes, and your future investment is better. I mean, it's like anything else. You put money in the stock market and it goes up and you get some income, you pay taxes.
The rental property has the highest property tax that I've ever seen.
Who has? I don't know. I do know that not our city, if the tax bill is high, our portion of it is this much. I don't think that's quite correct because I live in Boone County. And so much of that, so little of that is the city's. It's primarily the school districts, et cetera. I know. this doesn't affect your tax bill unless, as you say, because the whole neighborhood improved, but then at least when you sell, you have a better investment. My answer to you, which sounds terrible, is it's the same way I'm over, so if I come and live with me, you're doing the same thing. I mean, it's not fun, it's sad, but it's not unique to us. You know, it's just not, and it's problematic. I mean, will I live long enough to see school funding change so it's not on my tax bill now?
Yeah, well, do you think the solution is to finish with the subdivisions?
Yes, but we don't incentivize that because those are where the developers are making the money building the houses, and they are coming. We can tell you how many, some of our building permits per year, they were, several hundred and then it tanked and now they're back up, so the subdivision, yes, and that will help. Yes, you are right.
Okay, you all said that it doesn't help for an empty lot. We have an empty lot there next to our building.
It's a good point. If we get a building built on that, we can't get new we can't incentivize the new brick and mortar, but we might help them with a little bit of sewer connection, not sewer connections if they don't need adequate sewer. And bathrooms are, the more development, obviously, there's more value to share the overall tax bill, which is part of the reason that you get, you not only want your downtown to look nice, you not only want your neighborhoods to look nice, but the better value on the homes, our rate goes down, which is what you refer to. I mean, anytime your rate can go down, it's a good thing.
The tax rate.
Right.
So you're saying that if the downtown betters itself, the tax rate can go down?
After it comes out of the TIF, because
that's another 23 or whatever.
So we're going to plan on the other developments of bringing the overall rate from the schools down. And you can get really philosophical here. If I have a crappy downtown, my subdivisions aren't going to want to. I mean, that's part of this. This is, you live in the heart of you deserve the attention to improve the properties because that's what makes Yorkville a nice place for the subdivisions to develop. Because the next restaurant's downtown, I live in Chicago and I'm watching the city of Chicago and all the people eating downtown. And the more they move, there's more restaurants downtown than I ever imagined I was a kid. There's more stores. I mean, downtown in Chicago is nothing like it was when I was a kid. And I think the more residents that come in that support the businesses, the crazier it gets. It's like a spiraling theory. It should only happen here.
Now, the downtown area again, the lumber yard,
those foundations.
Foundations.
Concrete foundations. What's going to happen to that?
Hopefully, with money, they can be built. That's the whole point.
Like I said, that area with all the foundations is an EPA remediation site, which means there can't be any development until the pollution underneath is taken care of. That's a big deterrent to private development. If I have to do all that extra work and spend money, I could develop a vacant lot somewhere that doesn't have that. Yeah. So with a TIF on it, they can come to us and say, you know, we really want to put something here. Can we have some sort of TIF fund to help us with that?
Yeah. And first, it's meeting that kind of hurt.
Everyone.
We have to accumulate money to offer. It's your thing.
Right. The fund has that money in it, obviously.
Right.
But in the long run.
But if you say to a developer, let's take that example as a perfect example. If you say to a developer, look, you develop that, whatever it costs you for that EPA cleanup, when the taxes are generated from what you build, I will use those taxes to reimburse you for all your EPA cleanup. So now they go to the owner of the property, they get the property for much, much less money because it's useless. And now the municipality is saying, I'll help you with that extraordinary cost. Once you're built, see, that's the good news about it. You can't give me any money until you've spent a lot because it's a reimbursement program. It's a reimbursement of cost. which protects all of us, actually.
So if this went through the day, let's say, and it'd be years before you got enough money to put new storm service in. Because nothing went up.
Yeah, but we have a few vacant lots and we have a few things and we're hoping that's not the case.
What is like in a tip now? Like seeing one of us like money?
No, that's the, and that's it's just the opposite. If the city, let's take Countryside. Countryside was a tip. It was going to be a closer, it was going to be everything. The whole thing came. It was 2003 to 2004, the whole thing came. And they had borrowed money. To make a long story out of it, we'll bring it forward. Suddenly, there's development there, but there isn't enough to pay off the bonds they had borrowed. So the village, the city put its own money in to fix some of the streets around there, otherwise no more businesses would come. And that's not, that is your question. Yes, there are other monies when it's very obvious to any well a government city, which this is one, that a well governed city sees, wait a minute, I can attract more if I take other funds. I can't wait for the tip, but there's interest here, so I use general fund money to do the other. And yes, we have an example of that right in the city. And now I'll tell you the real bottom line. If you don't like this idea, come up with a better one. Because doing nothing is what has allowed the properties in our downtown to get real old. And so if this isn't the right thing to do, it's right to do something. Because I go around the state and I always say, do nothing is wrong. That's the only thing that's wrong. After that, it's your, how do we manage it? How do we apply it? How do we monitor it? How do we review it? How do we implement it? So, if there's nothing else.
So we don't have to fear that the government's going to come after us and say, hey, you have to get out of that building. We're going to take it over, eminent domain or whatever.
No.
Not at all. And I'll tell you,
we've already been through it once.
You have? Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, not eminent domain, but they would have if we had caught it.
Yeah, but, well, eminent.
Oh, and another question about the library. So, as a taxpayer in Yorkville, it's probably a stupid question, it has nothing to do with the TIF. But it's been bugging me for the last 10 years. I used to pay $300 a year for library cards, and I'm a taxpayer, but I'm not in the district. So my kids went to the school.
So you're incorporated or unincorporated in your town?
I guess unincorporated.
That's why. Because only the,
so
we don't have a library district, so only the residents of Yorkville pay towards the library.
But I'm assuming I'm a resident of York.
You are not.
No?
You are an unincorporated.
You don't pass taxes.
You
why
don't
are
pay,
you
here
in our
you don't want to know how much you pay taxes.
Oh, yeah. With the taxes I pay, I'm a resident.
You don't want to know
you are. But you don't have to buy out of the city.
Where's it paid?
You do not pay taxes to the city of York.
It goes to the school. It goes to the library
right.
District. It goes
there,
to
there is
the
a library
district. We don't have a library district. That's what you're getting. See, they have a line item on their tax bill for the city to pay get free library cards. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And it's not only Yorkville, it's every place in the state.
You
don't
have a year ban from the
city. You want a library card?
You want a library card?
Also, yeah.
Yeah.